You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bakken along with Jason Spies from the Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. Joining us on the program, Jake Milne. He is an entrepreneur and works in wind turbine blade processing. Some interesting stuff in Wyoming going on. Of course, North Dakota passed a bill for some of the reclamation. Jake, thanks for joining us.
That's good to be here with you guys. It's been a while.
Yeah, nice to have you back on the program. You know, I want
to talk
Steve, a little bit about.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I was going to mention real quick. We had Jake on before as an individual tracking some of these different wind legislations and some of the subsidies, some of the different things. And one of the issues that's coming up across the United States is the landfills, and they've got some major issues in Wyoming happening with some landfills with their wind turbines. And in North Dakota, we passed a law, I think in the last session, that you have to have a permit in order to put a wind turbine in a landfill. But there are 2,200 of these wind turbines in landfills, Steve. And as you know, they don't, you know, it's not like they biodegrade. So what I see happening here, because of poor leadership, is that what happened with the oil and gas industry with the orphan wells is going to happen with the wind turbine industry to go into these landfills and have to take them out of there, grind them down, et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of what the overall theme with I was going to talk to Jake, or I wanted to talk to Jake about today, because he's in the middle of it. He's getting it from both sides. He's even been pulled to Illinois because they got problems there. So anyway, sorry about that. Sorry to interrupt, Jake. Sorry to interrupt, Steve. I just wanted to kind of give a little context. Talk to us a little bit about the issue in Wyoming to give people an idea what's been going on, if you don't mind.
Well, they put tons of blades into the landfill, created quite the fuss. And you've seen the news story a few years back all the way across the world. The good thing that came out of that is that now the majority of these OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, are requiring their blades to be recycled, and all the owners of the wind farms are going the same way. Last budget session, I believe it was, there was a bill put forth to make sure, do similar to what North Dakota did. However, it was a budget session. You rarely get anything heard on that. We're in a budget session right now. I'm hearing about other topics being pushed down. They're concentrating on the budget. You got to remember, these guys that are in your state legislative branch, they're, you know, part-time. They've got full-time jobs also, and they're spending that extra time to go and pass laws.
Steve Bakken, you're former mayor of Bismarck, Burley County chairman right now. You know, when I think of the oil and gas industry, I think about how much money they have reinvested in the communities, whether it be from emergency service equipment they're buying, communication equipment, roads, and a lot of times they're building roads, et cetera, et cetera. Here's an industry that they built on their own. And here's an industry that the government built, which is the wind industry. Notice how there's not a lot of investment back, Steve, from the wind companies. There's a lot of investment back from the oil and gas companies, but I don't see a lot of that investment coming back from the wind companies. I see the investment coming back from the people to solve the problems that the wind companies were supposed to take care of when they got the subsidies to begin with. Steve, you've been in government for a long time. Talk me off the ledge or help me through that, understand that a little bit.
One of the things I was proactive about is, and this goes back to prior to me being mayor or on the Burley County Commission, is what's the reclamation process? Because in most contracts, the landowner owns the asset, which doesn't play into the reclamation side of stuff. What do you do with that? They, wind company will take it down, and then what? You're stuck with it. You know, one of my biggest issues, Jake, is when you take a look at that incredibly large subsurface structure that is there to support this big wind tower and the elements that come along with those winds. Anybody who's grown up on a farm or picked rock knows that things work themselves to the surface. 4 feet down doesn't stay 4 feet down very long in North Dakota. Do you see some of those issues with the subsurface side of things in Wyoming as well?
Well, of course there is. It's a highly regulated industry, right? Now, let me change gears on you. Down in Osage County, the Osage Nation, there is a lawsuit that's been opened up where they went and, of course, they excavated to put their foundations in. Well, here we are 10 years later after the farm was built, and the bureaucrats turned around and said, well, this is considered mining, and the Osage Nation owns all the subsurface mineral rights. So now we're going to consider this mining because you took the dirt out, you put the foundation in, you brought a crusher in and used the rock, the large parts of the excavation for the backfill, which is understandable where they're coming from. You know, it's basically a quarry mine at that point, right? But this has become a huge issue that, you know, we've seen in the oil and gas industry. And in one sense, I'm glad that they're looking at the wind industry, trying to hold them accountable also. But in the oil and gas industry, we've seen how it slows things down. It costs money, in which at the end costs the consumer money. Now, here's the biggest problem. It's going to cost roughly $300 million to tear this down. And they still have ongoing litigation. You know, it just blows my mind that how this is going. The bureaucrats get involved. The main thing is there was permits put in place. The Osage Nation owns the land and the mineral rights. They approved it. And then it goes to the federal government. They approve it. And now here we are 10 years later saying, oh, wait, you guys screwed this up. Wasn't this in the plans to do this project? I mean, surely everyone knew that in the permitting process, there was foundations being put in. It's just wild. These things are going to continue to pop up because it's a new industry, right? But I've said it on here before, and Jason on the Crude Life, we've talked about it both personally as well off air, is that the new industry, why don't we look both for the safety and environmental side to existing industry, and now we're starting to learn about the regulation side with the blades, recycling, and now this very strange new one, subsurface mineral rights. I highly suggest everyone looking into it. I found a great podcast this morning that talks about it in more detail, and I'll post that over to your guys' LinkedIn pages this afternoon.
Jake Milne, we're talking with Jake Milne concerning wind towers and wind turbines and assets after the fact. And I want to come back to that because, you know, you take one down, where does that wind up? And I look at reclamation projects or what the reclamation side of things is, because you have to do your diligence for planning for that end of life for that asset. Oil and gas industry does it really well. Coal industry does it better than anybody else. You know, their reclamation projects, North Dakota's the poster child for how to do it right with the coal industry. But that's not all there in the wind side of things. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
In a world of ever-changing energy, staying ahead is crucial. We are introducing Oil Man Magazine, your trusted source for leaders in American energy. At Oil Man Magazine, they deliver more than just everyday industry news. They provide a comprehensive overview of the oil and gas market, revealing the trends, technologies, and software applications shaping the future. Visit oilmanmagazine.com and empower yourself with the knowledge that drives change. Together, let's shape the future of the oil and gas industry. Oil Man Magazine and their companion magazines, Oil Woman Magazine and Energies Magazine, leading the way for the leaders in American energy. Oil Man Magazine, your compass in a rapidly evolving world.
You're You're tuned to Talk of the Town on SuperTalk 1270. I'm Steve Bogan, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. You can get your Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on SuperTalk 1270. We're talking with Jason Milne, expert in wind turbines and what the reclamation process is of that. So, okay, we're putting in new wind turbines, wind farms all the time, heavily subsidized. You know, Jason, you brought up a great point about what do they really give back? Well, we wind up having to figure out these mitigation issues. And North Dakota just passed a bill for the reclamation side. Wyoming just did not, but hopefully that's going to come back again. What are you seeing around the country when it comes to reclamation? Because typically you can't recycle them. There is a lot of value in recycled carbon fiber, but there's not an incentive, because apparently industries need incentives all the time instead of just doing the right thing, because that cuts into the bottom line for the shareholders. But without incentives, how do you keep them out of landfills? There needs to be some legislation that keeps these products out of landfills, because you take a look at a wind tower in North Dakota, I'm guessing Wyoming's probably similar because of the wind, the cold weather, the temperature, the climate extremes. You're replacing blades on a 7-year schedule. That's a lot to go into the landfills. And we're winding up through the Midwest with large tracts of land that are just burial sites for these assets once they've expired. What are you seeing, Jake?
You know, the trend is recycle, recycle, recycle. And that's, you know, I think largely for good publicity. And, but, you know, small government is the best way for industry, right? While I agree that that legislation needs to be put in place, you know, the small legislation, let's not make this a $600-700 page law that we're going to put in that everyone has to sift through to find the loopholes to figure out how to do it. And, you know, let's make it a simple one sentence law. No wind turbine blades in landfills ever. That's said and done. Now let industry do their work, you know, and with industry doing their work, there's several people. And let me be clear. We are not a recycler. We are a processor. We are the middleman that sends it to the recycler that we approve and the energy company approves. One of those companies is ReGen Fiber. What they're doing is shredding it again to much smaller pieces, and then they're putting it into roads, concrete, asphalt, mortar. It's a great binding agent. So that's one way, but they have to be able to sell it on the back end, because we can't do anything for free, right? Then there's Veolia that they grind it with and mix it with bottles. They send it to cement kilns. They burn it twice and then use it as an additive. That reduces Portland and sometimes and other additives by fly ash, for example, that comes from the coal-fired power plants, and they put that in as an additive, sometimes reducing up to 70% of those natural additives, and at least it's not going into landfill. I think that the burning it twice, I'm questioning that side of things when it comes to carbon sequestration. That's a very controversial issue there. But, you know, we were talking earlier about reclamation and how the coal mines do it great. I'm sure both of you have drove down 85 south of Gillette, and there's that great big open pit coal mine. And what they're doing, they go in, they get to the veins, they pull the coal out. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 power plants right there within a very small radius. They send it to the power plant, burn the coal. Well, now all your extra aggregate goes back into the hole. And they've been doing that for a while. It looks great. And then they go and reseed everything. They're doing a great job. I agree. We need to look to the industry, right? The existing industry to take care of these problems. When they decide to take down a wind turbine blade, they course, get their permitting and everything. Oftentimes now they're doing repowers where they will tear down and rebuild on the same foundations to get put new, better technology in, taller, and produce more power. And then, of course, there's times that they're just tearing it down and walking away. And whatever they leave back there in the ground is up to either the landowner to say, you know what, I guess this is just going to stay here, or how am I going to get it out of here? And that has a lot to do with the contracts that were written in the past couple decades. Landowners are becoming to be privy to that, and things are changing, which is good. But
that was my question, though. Jake, that was my question. When you say they, is it, I guess, who's paying for this at the end of the day? Is it the landowner? Is it the government? Is it the energy company? And I'm sure it's a mixed bag, but talk to me a little bit about that, because, you know, when we talk about the carbon market, we had Jeff Comer on a few weeks ago, and he said one of the differences between the oil and gas industry and the carbon market was that the government is essentially driving the entire carbon market. And so when we talk about, you know, reclamation and some of these different things, who is driving that market? Is it, you know, does the government reach out to you? Does the landowner reach out to you? I mean, I know you were in Illinois talking to landowners the other day. Walk us through that a little bit.
That was actually my partner, Paul Probst. He's originally from Illinois. And those contracts were several decades old. The farm owner is, well, let me back up for a moment. So typically involved with this, you have the landowner, you have the farm owner, and if the farm owner does not operate it themselves, they hire another company that operates it for them. The farm owner is responsible for taking it down, but oftentimes subsurface and sometimes entire towers are left in the hands of the landowner because they didn't read through the fine print and see that they're responsible for it. And it's costing these guys millions of dollars. And how much money do they actually make off these old turbines that didn't produce a huge amount of power? Were they getting money out of the power produced, or were they just getting a lump sum to use the land? What do we see in oil and gas? You go out on a rancher's land, often these ranchers are going to charge you, you know, a couple $100 a day for a set of tires to drive down the road. You know, we got to take care of the landowners. Otherwise, why the hell am I going to put one up on my land if it's going to cost me more money than it brings in? That depends on the contracts. I think more and more the industry is swinging towards the power producers are going to have to take care of that. And there's less being decommissioned, then the trend is that less are being decommissioned and more are being repowered. So the owner of the farm, take it down, have a contractor come in, take it down, and then rebuild right there. But that's the trend, is that now it's going to that. And how's the industry being driven? Of course it's being driven by government, and the same as oil and gas. How much can we export? How much can we drill? How long is it going to take me to get a permit here? Where it's kind of the opposite with the wind, where it takes a little bit less time, and they're finding out on the tail end. For years they've been finding out on the tail end that things aren't working the way that they thought it was going to work. And the other thing that's interesting is oil and gas companies and coal-fired power plants are investing in wind. Why is that? Well, we know how expensive wind is. So now it's smart business. They know that they're losing money on that side. They're trying to get it to make money. But at the end of the day, that's a subsidiary of the Berkshire Hathaways out there. So now they can burn more coal to make more money. And because they have this other industry that's evolving that's not making a whole lot of money yet. You know, I'm probably going to get my head cut off for even mentioning that, but it's the truth. And laws, regulations, subsidies, and government dictating how free market works is the driver.
Jake, we're up against a break, but Jake, just So where does this go? Is it better education from a landowner's perspective, knowing what you're putting on your land? Because I'm never going to fault a landowner that goes, they're going to give me a big check and that's going to help my farm or ranch operation. I won't fault them for that, but there's a diligence. There's a learning curve. Is it that? Is it the regulation side? Where do you fix the issues?
Well, most farmers and ranchers are used to doing business on a handshake the way it's supposed to be done. Fine print, yes, there's a lot of due diligence that needs to go into it, where these C-suite corporations have teams of lawyers, and a farmer hires old John Doe down the street and his family of lawyers working with the farm for years. You know, it's definitely the due diligence, and luckily the fact that these contracts aren't being written that way anymore is a huge help to the landowner. It's just unfortunate the people that have to deal with it along the way to figure that out. Just like we spoke about the Osage County issue, there are suits out there going on, and time will change it, and we're gonna let the market deal with itself. They don't want that bad publicity, so that they will come around.
Jake, thank you very much. Interesting conversation, stuff we'll be following. Hopefully you'll get that legislation passed in Wyoming, like we did here in North Dakota, but there needs to be a plan for reclamation on the front side before some of these projects go in. Jake Milne, thanks for joining us this morning.
You bet. Thanks for talking, guys.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bach and Sarah Stogner, the Unicorn Lawyer. When we come back, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270.